Blog Talk Radio.
Children, hey. Whew. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. If that isn't apropos for not just this evening, but for our times. So it didn't take me long for this particular program to come up with what our bumper tune was going to be, especially when I consider the subject matter, the topic for this evening. But before I get into all of that, let me welcome you to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and yes, again, you are at the right place at the right time. Well, when I say again, that is for those of you who are regular or returning listeners. For those of you who are not, welcome to Progressive News Weekly. And after this evening, it is my hope that you'll find this worth your time and you'll be one of our regular listeners as well. Progressive News Weekly is a weekly broadcast brought to you, I like to say for you and by you, which is by no coincidence a takeoff on our Constitution. Although by many standards, that's not the way things seem to be working out in this wonderful land we call America. And so with that, one of the intents of Progressive News Weekly is to bring you news and information that's well gathered from around the country, around the world, that's intended to inspire you and encourage you, of course, to empower you and instill you to get involved and make a difference. We don't leave the airwaves on a weekly basis without some mandate or deliverable that we can all engage in to make a difference, if not just for ourselves, at least then for those of our loved ones, our communities, our relatives, and those, of course, in our society. This evening is no different. We have a program that, I've been looking forward to for quite a while. In fact, I've been working on this one for several months, and it was a matter of being able to coordinate the calendars and really just to make sure that the timing was correct. And so here we are this evening, and I'm purposely putting that carrot out there, as I do for my regular listeners, to encourage you to get on the mail list. Because if you're on the mail list, you know who our guest is this evening. And if you're not on the mail list, send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, _ CLA18. At msn.com, and we'll be sure to get you on the mail list, and then you too will know prior to the program, even if it's just minutes before, who our special guest will be. So with that said, what's happening that I might want to speak about in the news? When I say in the news, I'm not talking about of the news with regard to mainstream media. And if it is mainstream, what a spin it's getting on a political or business basis. And this evening, because we did get a late start, I'm going to leave some of that mainstream neglect out of the picture so we can get right into our programming this evening. Our guest is one who has not been on Progressive News prior, and also in an area that I don't do much with, though from time to time I do like to make sure that we cover the broad spectrum, and that is one of Bible-based and just by some perspectives, though not by our guest perspective, religious-based programming. And we're going to get into some more detail on that because our guest will be one of the first to tell you that what he is and his organization is about is not religion, although by many standards it may sound that way. So enough of the carrots. Let's get right into the meat of this. This evening, we have as our special guest, Deacon Ithon. Now, Deacon Ithon is a member of Israel United in Christ. It's a biblical or Bible-based, non-denominational organization, and I did not say religion, that was founded and created to bring about the historical and biblical truth of the history of blacks, well, Afro-Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans, and others out of the African diaspora. Now, this is a topic that does not hit mainstream, from my perspective even, enough. Because too often, again, from my perspective, and I'm really hoping that we get some interaction this evening, and if we don't, we'll be coming back to visit this topic with this guest or someone in the organization so that you'll have a chance to maybe do your homework on it and come back with some pertinent inquiries or questions or suggestions or comments. But too often, this sect, that's S-E-C-T, as in group, folks, are misrepresented. I believe it was Stevie Wonder that wrote a song. I think we may close on it, talking about a misrepresented people. And so I was intrigued when I began having dialogue with some of the individuals of this organization, though it's not the first time that I've had, you know, some exposure to this. As you know, many of you, I've been in this for 10 years, this talk radio business, if you want to call it a business. I prefer it more or less calling to bring out truth to the masses. And so I've had various organizations on. I've had Scientologists on, which was very interesting interviews when we have done those in the past. Not to compare this to that, please don't misunderstand it. And I'm pleased to say that the individual who's going to be joining us this evening will clarify any misunderstanding or correlations with any other organizations or religions, if you will. But suffice it to say that I do believe that there's been such a misrepresentation, especially of the history of that particular sect of individuals. Need I talk about the Native Americans, for example, and their origin and how they've been had been portrayed? Things have gotten a little better as savages and heathens. And, of course, we're coming up into the Thanksgiving holiday and how we know that it was the Native American Indians that were approached and, well, misled. And so a lot of that truth, or some of that truth, is beginning to come out. So when I can get a tap into some enlightenment, you've gotten my attention. So with that said, before we go into the interview, folks, if you know of a topic or an individual that has some substance that's not hitting mainstream, bring it to me. Send me an email. I'll send out my number. We can talk about it. I'll vet it because I'm going to vet it. Whatever is on Progressive News Weekly has to have some foundation in truth, and we've got to be able to do some type of background on it to give it some validity because that's what we're really about here. So with that said, Deacon Ison, as I said, is a deacon in the Israel United in Christ organization, whose goal is to bring about the truth of the history of these cultures and nations. And so without further ado, let me introduce to you Deacon Ison. Deacon,
Hello.
We have you on the air?
Yes, you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you well. Yes, so we got started very late this evening, a lot going on. This is live radio, and it is what it is. And so there are occasions when we do start late. And so for those, that's another benefit, that are on my mail list, I do try to send out a broadcast blast that I have of our regular listeners that goes out to numerous people around the country. And so you have a captive audience here, and then we have those who always come in on the archives as well, who even exceed the numbers that are here with us live. So let's get right into this, Deacon. I have heard of the Black Israelites, and I mean, there's these labels that have proliferated. That's a Daryl word, by the way. You know, throughout the country, about organizations that talk about the truth of Israel and the Bible and Africans' role in that and Afro Americans' role in that. So this is a treat for a lot of listeners to get some real insight on this, because I know that is what your organization's focus is in. Let me ask you, before we get into some more detail, how did you get involved in this organization?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to allow me on the show. I appreciate it. I'm really hoping to bring forth an understanding. But how did I get involved is I myself was raised in the Pentecostal Christian Pentecostal religion, and even when at that time I wasn't really so much as interested in the church. I was kind of, you know, dragged in by the ears. You know, most of us Blacks or Hispanics are usually, you know, kind of somewhat forced into going to church or, you know, a Catholic church or whatever. So we go against our will, we go willfully, one or the other. I would go because my cousins would go. And so I learned, you know, about the Bible and so forth. Yeah, a few things here and there. And then over time, I began to, surround myself with people who were somewhat involved in the Afrocentric type of lifestyle, the Afros and the braids and, you know, the discussion about Christ being Black, you know, kind of was provided, you know, added to that atmosphere. I kind of realized, okay, well, the Bible is describing as being Black. I'm not surprised, you know. And so I kind of had that, you know, thought already that he was a Black man based upon me being around Afrocentric types in terms of, friends and so forth from school or college or whatever. And so I already had that thought, that somewhat of an integrity in terms of, like, you know, look, having a knowledge of or seeking knowledge of my people or whatever. And then so in terms of searching, I came across Deacon Asaph, who lived in the same building, and he was teaching a lot of my friends who I grew up with in the building about the Bible and how there's Black people in the Bible and, you know, Christ is Black, which I knew already, as I said earlier, and, you know, King David and Solomon being Black, and I heard those things, you know. You know, so, you know, the way he brought it to my attention, it gained my interest. And so I spent many, many days, spent most of my time actually in his home learning and studying with him. And we learned from watching brothers who were actually teaching on the streets as far as like early as the 1970s. And we learned from, you know, they basically gained an understanding from watching those brothers out on the street at the time. And then, you know, we kind of gained an understanding of who we were, you know, learning from each other and whatnot. And then eventually we came across Elder Nathaniel, who has videos as well, his old tapes and so forth. And we realized that this brother had a lot more to offer to us aside from what we had learned already, because once we learned what we learned, we said, okay, now we've learned, you know, A, B, and C, you know, what do we do with it? You know, do we just learn this and just internalize it and just keep it amongst ourselves? We felt like there was something missing. And when both of us, along with another deacon named Deacon Yalasop, who Deacon Asaf learned from, I met him as well, we all decided, who was the Deacon Yalasop was a close friend of Nathaniel, we all decided to pay him a visit, you know, and seek guidance and so forth and challenge him. That was a fail. And we ended up, you know, giving us even further enlightenment and understanding, and we've been together ever since. So that's how I came into the truth, or to the knowledge of what I know now. And I've been involved in this truth for, I would say, I've been with IUIC for 12 years, and I learned, you know, I've known who I was for the past 15. So that's how I came into the truth.
So you've been involved for, you say, about 12 years?
Yes, I've been with, I joined Israel United in Christ in 2006. So, yes, 12 years.
Wow. Now let's get into the founding of the organization. Who is the actual founder of the organization?
The founder of the organization would be Elder Nathaniel and Elder Kanai. There was three families, one no longer with us, but Elder Nathaniel and Elder Kanai, Elder Nathaniel particularly is the founding member, founder of the organization, and he learned about, you know, who he was years ago, of course, and he was imparted understanding from his elders, who he learned from, and he took that understanding and decided to establish his own organization that would further elevate the minds of our people spiritually, mentally, and biblically, first and foremost, to excel better according to the laws of God. One of the things that our people have learned on this side of the world, or throughout many parts of the world, but particularly this side of the world, where a lot of our people are taken through by ship, we were given religion. And a lot of these religions, particularly Christian in nature, Christian or Catholic in nature, talk about the Bible or, you know, make reference to it, but don't really go by it in terms of application. Like, we all know about God is good and God is great and Christ died for our sins and so on and so forth, but never do we really hear about what we have to do in order to serve God and what he requires of us. That alone is not really explained or expounded upon in the churches, because what we've come to learn over these years, and the truth is that the Christian church was provided to us, especially during the time of slavery, to give us a certain level of comfort in our affliction while we were in the fields. And they gave us things like, you know, God's love the world and servants obey ye masters and, you know, and so forth. And, you know, all this, you know, and a watered down God is love and love, you know, and so forth. And never really application of the laws. And one of the worst things they could have ever given us, like I said before, well, I didn't say before, but I'll say now, was a depiction that they created of a Jesus Christ that was whitewashed and watered down. And they fed that image to us for many generations, which they still feed to us for now. And that image is in the minds of many of our people, whether it be the image itself or the doctrines behind the image that further destroy our people psychologically, spiritually, and religiously, which helps further destroy them physically and mentally, because it's a form of white supremacy. And white supremacy has been a destroyer of our people for many millennia, for hundreds of years, as long as we've been on this side of the world, as well as even in the past. And our objective at IUIC, or Israel United in Christ, is to overthrow those religious or white supremacist organizations or foundations and bring about the historical, biblical, and scriptural understanding of who we are, who we originally are, and not these false names we've been given throughout the diaspora and as well as in this side of the world. That's our objective.
So when you say our objective, getting back to Israel united in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned this in the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Is this part of a religion or of our denomination of a religion, or is it not a religious organization? Could you give us a little background on its foundation?
Sure. The foundation falls upon the laws, I said before, the laws of God. God never gave man religion. Man made religion. The ideology of Pentecostal, you will not find Pentecostal in the Bible. You will find Pentecost, and that's a feast day. You will not find Seventh-day Adventist in the Bible. You will not find Jehovah's Witness in the Bible. You will not find Catholic or Pentecostal or any other denomination anywhere in the Bible. Those are man-made traditions that were provided during the time in which we were still in chains, and they were established particularly to keep us in chains, whether physically or mentally. I'm going to read a scripture if it's possible, just to further explain
sure.
what the Bible gives us, aside from religion. Or again, so
sure.
Deuteronomy 4, verse 44.
I didn't hear you. What was it? Deuteronomy. You broke up my headset. Deuteronomy. What again?
4:44.
Okay. 4:44.
Says, and this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt. So what God gave Israel, the children of Israel, was laws and commandments and judgments that would follow if those laws and commandments were not met, along with the covenant that they were to keep, or a promise that they were to keep, which required them to keep those laws. If they kept those laws, they would be blessed. If they refused, they were cursed. And we, so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, as well as the brothers, sisters out there throughout the African diaspora, are part of the children, are all the children of Israel. And our forefathers chose to reject those laws. And so as a result of rejecting those laws, not religions, but laws that God gave us, curses are set upon us that follow us even to this day, to identify that we are, in fact, the people that Moses spoke to in that same wilderness we just read earlier.
Okay. So, in effect, it's not a religion.
Correct.
It's a belief system.
I would say a government, a law, or pretty much a structure that was set up of old, given to a particular people in a particular place at a particular time, that would grant them blessings and rulership upon the planet Earth, which they refused to do. So I wouldn't say a belief. I would say more so a foundation that they were given to live by, and they chose to go against.
Okay.
So I guess you would say, popular, you could say popular belief would say it's a belief, or they would say it's a religion, but biblically speaking, it's not.
It's a structure and a foundation that can be built on. Now, it's all biblical based. Is that the understanding that I'm getting?
Well, first and foremost, it is biblical based, but the history and records and evidences provide truth to the Bible. Biblical-based understanding.
Okay. So it is not strictly a Bible-based. Well, let me retract that, because it is based on biblical history, but it is not
mm-hmm.
a biblical-only organization, which might qualify it by
Correct.
Some terms as a religion. So it's more
Right.
than just a Bible. Study. It is a structure of living.
Well, I would say yes. The answer is yes. It is primarily Bible-based, but it can be substantiated with historical evidences outside of it. I'll say that.
Okay. All right. So that helps me to differentiate that from what you were saying, it not being a religion, which is, as you said, man-made. Does this apply only to that sect that we, you know, just talked about earlier, Afro-Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans, those of the African diaspora? this organization is only focused in those areas?
Yes, only because those people, through enslavement, through colonialism, through the scattering, like I mentioned, the diaspora, and the assimilation that took place when they were scattered, they lost their identity. And so our objective is to reach out to those particular peoples to allow them to regain understanding of who they once were and what they must do presently. The answer to that question is yes. Yes.
And with this being... Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I want to pull a scripture just to substantiate it. This is Psalms 147, verse 19. It says, "He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel," which make up those peoples that we mentioned earlier. "He have not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they," the other nations, "have not known them. Praise ye the Lord." So the Most High always gave his laws and commandments, as we read earlier in Deuteronomy 4, 44 and 45, that they were to keep these particular commandments, because the children of Israel were a nation, and the nation requires a government and a structure, as you mentioned earlier. So our job is to bring back that order and structure that our people lost based upon enslavements, scattering, afflictions, assimilation, integration, and many other things. As well
from
as religion,
your perspective,
as well
then, as from your perspective, then it being the structure, ideology, being Bible based, and that ideology. Foundation / structure applying to uplift through knowledge the sect. I refer to that again because that covers the Afro-American, Hispanic, and Native and Indian, and those in African diaspora. I'll just henceforth refer to it as that sect that we're referring to here. Does then the Bible from your perspective apply and is referring to only those in that sect?
Yes.
African-American, yes. Afro-Americans. So the Bible does not include reference those who are non-Afro-Americans or Hispanic or of the African diaspora?
So the Bible documents every nation that exists today on the earth, but the
okay.
Bible was written to, from, for, and by the Israelites, for the Israelites, and the Bible was based upon them being on the hierarchy of the earth. That was the objective, that their job was to maintain the commandments that God gave them so that they could also, in time, when they were organized and structured and blessed, would eventually establish order among all nations upon the face of the earth. However, through rebellion and disobedience, they chose to, rather than be leaders, they chose to be followers of the nations that they were supposed to be over, and were eventually overthrown or allowed to be overthrown by these nations, and were scattered by these nations, and were assimilated and integrated themselves into the structures and orders of these nations, which we are still scattered in today. So our objective is not to bring about the understanding and knowledge to all people, because this didn't happen to all people. The Bible is written towards a particular people, and laws were given to them in particular to keep. And that's our objective as IURC. That's our objective right now, to regain those people back into their identity and their obligations. And everything else comes after them in terms of everybody else.
All right, so I understand that the Bible is directed towards a particular group of people. You did mention that it was to, for, and from the Israelites that the Bible was created. So let's go and delve into that a little bit deeper with some specifics. Let's go back to the beginning, Genesis, because what you're saying is this Bible is based upon those of the African diaspora.
Correct.
So we're talking about Adam, Eve. These are all Afro-Americans.
Yes, Jeffrey. Well, I'm glad you understand that. But when you examine Christianity, that isn't the case. You understand? Christianity doesn't really delve into the fact that Adam and Eve were, in fact, people of color. And the Bible is oftentimes, the reason why people reject the Bible is because it's oftentimes made to be some kind of a mythical or fairy tale-ish type of book. And people tend to stray from it because, you know, it seems mystical, magical, because a lot of the things that are found in it, through religion, basically just made this be happy, joy, and so forth. And people kind of negate the validity of it. Adam and Eve being people of color as well. And that is a very important factor that we bring about. That's very important in general, you know, regarding Adam and Eve. I'm sorry, I hope I didn't cut you off. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. That was the completion of my inquiry in that particular area. And so when we talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and these are that led out to all the tribes. Are we talking about these are all Afrocentric in background? Where and two part question. If so, then where do the other non-Afrocentric come into play? Those of our European background and nature and others on the planet.
Okay, good question. I hope you have the time for me to answer it. Regarding Adam and Eve, definitely people of color. Abraham, I'm sorry.
We don't cut ourselves short. This is my time. This is my program. So if we run out of time and we have about 20 minutes, we continue.
Okay.
I've done series that go for three or four sessions. So go ahead and break it down a little bit. And as I said, we have about, let me check my time frame. We have about 20 minutes for this particular segment. And believe me, I don't see this being the last time, because I want to give our listeners an opportunity to also weigh in. And if we don't give our listeners a chance to weigh in, then I'm not here. So if it gets to that point where it gets, time sensitive, then we'll just roll this into another program. By the way, listeners, if you'll bear with me, Ithan, please, while I take a little break for our listeners, because that's why we're all here. Listeners, for those of you who are tuning in, and I see we have folks jumping in here on this this particular program, we're talking with Deacon Ithan. And Deacon Ithan is a deacon in the Israel United in Christ organization, Bible-based, faith-based organization, non-religious, non-denominational, whose objective and goal is to bring about awareness of the truth of the history and biblical background of those of a Afro-American, Hispanic, Native American, and others in the African diaspora. So if you'd like to comment or you have something you'd like to say with regard to this conversation, question for Deacon Ithan, you'll dial, as always, for our regular listeners, for our new listeners, you'll dial 347-838-9142. And if that's the number you dial to listen in tonight, because you can get in through the internet, then you'll just press 1 on your dial, and we'll see that little hand on our screen, and we'll myself or our engineer will pick you up and give you a chance to participate in this uncommon discourse, which we're so proud to do week in and week out. We like to call it an uncommon discourse. And again, we're talking about the history of those of that particular sect known as Afro-Americans, Hispanics, Native American, and those out of the African diaspora. So you're welcome to call in, 347-838-9142, and participate in this discourse. Press 1 on your dial now if you'd like to participate. And we have about another 15 minutes or so as we're delving into a little bit of just the history of where this perspective fits in on the broad scale of things with regard to all the others on the planet? And that was a big question, I know. But if you could, you know, if you can give us a little bit of a concise answer, believe me, you'll have opportunity to expand in the weeks ahead.
Sure. Well, I'll start on. I know most people, when they hear that the Bible is particularly based upon for certain people, the immediate word they think of is you're being racist. The word racist evolved heavily around Israelite, whatever they falsely call us black Hebrew Israelites, which I hate. I prefer Israelites because black Hebrew is redundant because they're all the same thing. The Israelites were given particular laws and commandments. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to deal with the beginning, which is Genesis, just to point out the color of Adam. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." So when he formed man, he formed Adam from the dust of the ground. Dust of the ground, no matter how deep you go, the darker it gets, Adam was formed from that earth. He was a black man along with his woman. If someone were to say that he was a white man, and you show me a white couple that produced other nations of people in terms of black people, and we have an argument. The only people on earth that can produce a variety of colors and nations will be people of color. White people can only make themselves. They are recessive. They cannot create black people. That is impossible. I don't care what kind of shade you're in, what environment you're in. White folks have been in Africa for hundreds of years. They're still white. So Adam and Eve are indefinitely people of color. Then when you go from Adam and Eve, you had a child named Seth. Out of Seth came Noah. Noah was a descendant of this black couple, making him also a black man who married his own kind, therefore making his wife black as well, making his three sons black, along with their wives, who were their own kind, all being black. Leading into, out of Shem, one of Noah's sons, you had a man named, Terah, and Terah gave birth to Abram, who was also a black man from Ur of the Chaldees. Abram was also a black man as well, deriving from these people. And so Abraham was also a black man. And his wife as well, of his kindred, was also a black woman. And so they produced Isaac, who was also a black man, or dust of the ground like their forefather Adam was. They had Isaac. Isaac had twin sons. Isaac and Rebecca had twins. And you read about in Genesis 25, verse 25. Now, again, going back to the racist statement I made earlier, in order for you to be particularly racist, this racist basically means a person, there's two definitions. The negative connotation of racism is you feel you hate every other race and you love and you hate every other race and you feel your race is superior to other races. Another definition is when you have a love and care particularly only for your race. When you examine the children of Israel, God gave them laws for that, to love each other and love themselves. That was their role. That was the law that was given to them. In order for a person to be racist today, they have to possess power and authority on the earth to declare themselves to be more superior. Our people, no matter where you find them, in the condition that they're in, it is impossible. Well, I'll put it this way. Name a form of racism. This is a rhetorical question. Name a form of racism that black people, let's just say blacks for now, to keep the narrowed down. Name a form of racism that blacks can perpetrate against white people that can affect them as a whole. Just think of a kind. Think of a racism that a black person can perpetrate now that can affect white as a whole. And the answer is there is no way possible. They cannot do it. And therefore, by that statement alone being unanswered, it is impossible for us to be racist, period. That's the point I want to bring out. Now I'm going to go back to Genesis 25.
Can I stop you right there before you go to Genesis 25? Because sure. Even though it was a rhetorical question, I'd like to consider it, and I'd like our listeners – that you, please, you as well can consider, you know, any input to this dialogue. You said name mm-hmm. a form of racism that can be imposed on a white individual. I'm not sure I understand the question. Even though it was
name a form. Name a form of racism that black people can perpetrate as a whole that can affect white people as a whole, that can basically hinder them in terms of progression. Has influence over them. A racism that we can perpetrate that can cause a negative influence against them and affect them as a whole.
Well, as a whole. Okay, I think the key there is as a whole, because, you know, on
correct,
a micro
a
level, of course, we can influence, you know, a racist nature. I may have a position in a company, and I may say, you know what, I'm only going to hire blacks, you know. But that's on a small scale. But you're talking on a
right.
on a broad
on a high
scale.
Scale.
On
yes.
a high, broad scale.
High scale, yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. I'm not going to try to throw anything out there. But your point obviously is counter to that whites can impose racism on blacks on a broad scale. Is that what you're saying?
Based upon the power they possess that we don't. Yes. For example, I'll
currently.
Currently, yes. Temporarily, I was to say. What I mean is, for example, like affirmative action. There's no affirmative action established for whites. They can get a job. You have established, I think it was discovered rather, years ago that Columbia University had whites only grants. You have certain schools or zoning laws that set up where blacks go to a particular school, a particular area. You have redlining where certain particular races are geared away from certain communities that whites live in. Where black folks cannot redline white people. It's impossible. We cannot do that. We cannot tell white folks they cannot work for our company. That will not work. We cannot tell white folks they can't go to our schools. That will not work. Whereas they can. We cannot deny them loans. That's impossible. We don't have the power at all, and temporarily, to do that. You understand? If you wanted to, we don't have the power to do that. So racial, we cannot be racist unless you possess a particular set of power or authority on the earth to do that. That's what I'm saying. In terms of racism, the positive note, if a person loves their people above all else, there's no wrong in that. That's why America was established. America was established to conquer one people for the benefit of their own. That's what it was established on. Most nations are established upon that. And so that's pretty much my point I was thinking about in terms of us being labeled a racist. We're not racist. Because it is impossible to affect for us to be racist as a whole against them as a whole, against whites as a whole. I hope I made that point.
All right, your point's made. So let's go to Genesis 20,
right.
25.
25, and we're going to read verse 20. I'll skim. It says, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren." She couldn't have any children at this point. "And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her." There was a battle within her womb by these children, so it was more than one in her womb. "And she said, if it be so, if this pregnancy is a blessing of God, why am I thus? And she went to inquire the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated and not be together from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." So at this point, the Lord is letting her know the fate regarding these twins, okay, these two boys in particular. "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment." Now, as you read earlier, red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. So the child, when you examine the children, the first that came out was red all over like an hairy garment. The other one is not described because the other one looked like everyone else. You read earlier in Genesis 2 and 7, dust to the ground. Everyone on the earth at one point in time was black or had pigment, was brown in pigmentation. Every nation, with the exception of one particular race, has always had a history of being dark-skinned, whether it be Arab, whether it be Asian, whether it be Hawaiian, Iranian, Negro, African. All those nations have one thing in common. They all were at one point in time, even Syrian or Japanese, Chinese, they were all at one point in time, they called them Afro-Asiatics. They were all dark, different hues of brown. But one nation of people are particular different shades of red in complexion. We call them white people. They're not white people. They're different shades of red. They have always looked that way, outside of the norm. And this is what it's referring to. This is the progenitor of what the world knows as the so-called white man. This is his progenitor. This is Edom. Edom is, or Esau, is the progenitor of white folks. That's what the Bible's called Genesis. Jacob is the progenitor of the people I mentioned earlier. And Esau is the progenitor of the so-called white man today, whom people refer to as the British or the Dutch or the French, the Romans or the Greeks, These are all one and the same people, all the same. Now I'm going to continue to read on. It says, and after this came out his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So it took him 20 years before she finally got pregnant. So Jacob grabbed a hold on his heel as it came out of the womb, symbolizing something else, another topic. But the point is that Jacob was not described because Jacob looked like everybody else. Edom is the first time a person's ever mentioned or described physically, ever. It's the first time he's ever mentioned about, you about someone's physical feature. Esau is the first one mentioned here because he looked different from everybody else. Esau meaning wasted away as he. He lacked pigmentation. This is the progenitor of the so-called white man, you know, of today, who was known as European or British or French. This is his progenitor. This is his forefather. Okay, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, and the three of them took him to the plain man dwelling in tent. So it comes, so Jacob, eventually Esau had his children. Jacob had his sons. Those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel, making up the nation of Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, of course. And he had sons, and those sons are referred to as Israelites, meaning descendants of Israel himself. And God, so God gave to Moses that particular people commandments and laws to abide by, and that's when, and our people chose to reject those laws, and that's where we are now. We are in the midst of the consequences of what our forefathers did in rejection to those laws. That's where we are now. So when you, so the question, well, hopefully is, well, how do you know that these people you mentioned earlier are, in fact, the children of Israel? And I'm going to go into it now. This is 28, Deuteronomy 28, the words of Moses. This is verse 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken or listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So Israel's objective was to be set above all nations of the earth, and in righteousness, guide all of them in righteousness as well. But Israel chose to not lead, but follow. And so as a consequence, we read verse 15 for them doing that. 15 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So what happened was Israel chose the latter. We chose to reject what God said to us, blessed us with, well, offered us as a blessing, which is one, verses 1 through 14. All right? So I'll be verse 16. It says, cursed shall be that, cursed shall be thou that be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. So the Lord said, Israel's located, they were going to be cursed in their dwelling places, cursed in the city, and cursed in the fields. Now, when you examine Afrocentric history or Afro-American history and so forth, you'll examine that when you find our people, well, presently for hundreds of years, you'll find ghettos, you'll find slums, you'll find shack towns, you'll find, or barrios, whatever, you'll find us in decrepit or living in squalor. IURC, Israelite in Christ, we travel throughout the world and we've seen this condition time and time again, especially here in the Americas. You'll find our people living in low conditions, especially in cities like California, Philly, Detroit, New York, Michigan, Carolinas, wherever you find our people, you find us in the low state in the city. And he says, cursed shall that be in the field. When you examine our people being in the field, we were working the cocoa fields, the sugarcane fields, the tobacco fields, the cotton fields. We were cursed in these fields to work because we chose to reject our God. When you jump down to verse 17, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Your basket is the food that you buy. For example, you have a lot of for example, you'll find a lot of the foods we buy has all kinds of steroids in it and so forth. You'll find the food is not as fresh as you'll find in areas like Whole Foods. Like Whole Foods is a store you'll not really find in the ghetto. And if you do find in the ghetto, that means it's in the process of no longer being a ghetto. So you'll find the healthy foods in more expensive areas, whereas amongst us, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. The store we have, the baskets will be cursed. Then he goes down to cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, that be your children, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. I'm going to jump down to the point further. You have verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out once one way against them and flee seven ways before them. We will lose our battles, our wars against them, and thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. That's where the diaspora comes in. You jump down to verse 28. This goes along with that song you played earlier about our people, about light and blindness and so forth. It says, the Lord shall smite with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. So he's saying spiritually our people would be in a condition that they're in and not understand it. They will be as if they're blind walking in the daytime. It's like a person that's walking in the daytime, but their eyes are dark and they can't see what's going on around them. So we are people are oftentimes wondering why, what's happening to us, why are we going through this but have no answers? Because our people are spiritually blind and don't realize the reason why these conditions follow us or so easily beset us each day, or for these past few hundred years, we receive these injustices, these killings, police killings and murderings and so forth, these conditions are in because of our disobedience against God. That's in 28 to 29. Verse 30 says, thou shalt betroth the wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. That goes back to us during the time of slavery. Israel back then is a movie that came out called Brother of a Nation. It was a scene where a brother just got married. I believe Gabriel Union played the wife. And the white man, his master's friend, wanted that brother's wife. And he took her and had her at his disposal. So you'll find that the curses that followed Israel were reoccurring curses that happened amongst different nations of people throughout each captivity. And the most recent one we can think of is during the time of slavery where a brother would have a wife, and Massa would want his wife and take her. So it says, thou shalt betroth the wife, another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein, because we built Massa's house, and we will not dwell in. We built the White House. We don't dwell in there. We built the U.S. Capitol, and there were times we built our master's house. We built a little shack on the side of the house, 8-9 of us in one house. We didn't build the house live in the house that we built. It says, thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. We farmed the land and so forth. We didn't gather from that. We got the scraps that we call soul food today. All right? I'm going to jump to verse 31. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Because we used to ask black folks for 40 acres and a mule, Native Americans after 40 acres and two mules. But an ass is a mule. We didn't get those things given to us. They weren't given back to us. Instead, Native Americans are now legal aliens now, Latinos, and Negroes are nothing more than three-fifths of a man, or niggas. And so we didn't receive those things that we once had. Here it says, thine axe and thy mule is referring to the land we had of our own. That was eventually we lost it. That goes into colonialism, where a nation moves into your land and takes things from you and lives off of you, off your labor. That's colonialism. That goes happen to the Native Americans in this side of the world throughout North, South, and Central America. 32 is under the curse. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail of longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand to do what? To get them back. You examine most recent slavery. You had auction blocks. They would separate man from child, woman from child, man from wife, mother from son, father from mother. The separation took place. That's auction blocks. You find out in a movie called 12 Years a Slave. The perfect example of that. The movie Django. Perfect example of that, man and wife being separated. But particularly in this verse here, it says, thy sons and daughters. Okay, we had no might in our hand to get them back. We had no might to get them back. We had no military might, no physical might, nothing. They were taken from us. All we could do is deal with it. I'm going to jump down to the main verse. I'll be verse 33. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. So thou shalt be mad, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. That's colonialism. Your own land taken from you, and a nation that you know it's not eat up all your crops, kill your cattle. There's a picture of a white man standing on top of a bunch of oxen, plowing the ditch, because that was the Native Americans, that was their bread and butter, that was their clothes, that was their food, that was their resource that was taken from them, and they lost it. This is another example of colonialism as well. Verse 37, it says, 36, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which shall set over thee, unto a nation which thou neither now nor thy fathers have known, and there, when you're taken captive, shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. You had a wooden cross, you had a stone, because not only did Christianity was used against us to enslave us, you also had Islam, which both worked hand in hand during the trans-Saharan and transatlantic slave trade. You had Muslims as well as Christians working together to keep the people of Israel enslaved throughout the diaspora. Verse 37, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword, and among all nations that the Lord shall lead thee. An astonishment goes into an amazement or ridicule. A proverb is a wise saying, niggas always late, stereotypes. And a byword is a name called outside of your God-given name. A byword would be Latin American, African American, Haitian, Jamaican, Trinidadian, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Native American, Latin American, Nigerian, Malian, whatever. These are all different names given to us or that were either self-proclaimed or primarily outside given to us, outside given names to our people to further separate us either through those names or through language barriers throughout the diaspora. And so these are bywords, but our true God-given name of the children of Israel, the Israelites, that's our God-given name. But we all go by
all right.
The presence. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's a good point to put a wrap on it because you said this is what you talked about the myth, and that was one of the goals this evening. You said this is what the myth is, but then you not only gave us what the myth was from what your ideology is, and I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying that's your ideology. Mm-hmm. But you gave us some reference points, which is all that we can ask. But you also said what you said what it wasn't, but you said what it was, and that is the children of Israel. Thus, you said the truth of the matter is we are the children of Israel. I think that's a great point to break. But brother, I find this to be intriguing, and I love it. If I would be able to ask you, would you be willing to come back? We're booked for a few weeks, but I would like to see you come back before this talk about millennium, this particular year expires. I would like to see you come back and do a full segment because we started a little bit late, so we lost about 20 minutes or 30 minutes. I'd like to continue the dialogue and get into some aspects, as you said, where we are now and what that means to, from your perspective, this society that we're in right now. So we're bringing it full spectrum into where we are now, because that was a well laid out history for our listeners that have just joined us, because I see the lines have exploded here in the last 15 minutes. I would like to let you know we have been talking to Deacon Ithan, and he's a deacon with the Israel United Church in Christ organization, not religion. And they are a Bible-based organization who seeks to bring about the truth in through history and bibliography of Afro-Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans, and others of the African diaspora. And I think it's been enlightening. I think you've had our listeners captivated because no one clicked one, and I've done this many years. We're going into a decade of this, and usually when we have a first-time visitor such as yourself, which welcome to the family of Progressive News Weekly now, when we have that scenario, folks are captivated. So I'm going to ask all the listeners to stay tuned with Progressive News Weekly. If you would send me an email to Daryl, Daryl, _CLA18 at MSN.com, I would certainly add you to my mail list. And as in tonight, those of you on the mail list received an email from me. So you knew that we were going to have Deacon Ithan. And, and so you too would be privy. In addition, you would receive a text message from me prior to the program as well. So, again, The email to get on that list is Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore C-L-A-M-S-N.com. And if you want to take the easy route to send me an email, because that's a personal email, you can just send an email to Progressive News. That's Progressive News at MSN.com. Progressive News at MSN.com. In case you forgot the underscores and was it a 1-8 or so, that's an easy one. And I'll certainly send out my reach number. If you know of someone or a topic that is not hitting the airwaves, please let me know. You and I can talk. We can have a discussion about what that subject matter is or that particular individual. And we'll do some investigation as to the validity of what it is that that topic is and what the individual is about. And we would love to bring it to the airwaves because that's what we're about, keeping it real, keeping it live, bringing truth to power, and empowering, enlightening, inspiring the listeners to make a difference, because this country was founded on grassroots involvement, and that's what we're about. That's why we're a labor of love. Ethan, I want to just thank you for taking the time out. I'd like to get a little bit more into the founder of your organization, perhaps. Now, is he – there's a hierarchy. That would make him a bishop if you're a deacon.
Yes.
What would his – okay. So perhaps at some point we could have yourself and, you know, the founder to come on and share with us some of the insights that brought about this movement, because I see it as a movement. You know, myself and many, probably not most of our listeners are of a certain religion. And I heard you speak about, you know, the Muslim religion as well as Christianity. And so we can have this subject matter. Very, very interesting. I have to say that to our listeners, myself, I am a Christian. So enlightening for me and definitely looking forward to doing some research even myself. To our listeners, I want to thank you for taking the time out. As I said, the lines completely blew up tonight, Ethan, in terms of listenership.
That's great.
Yeah,
may I leave my information? May I leave my contact information?
Would you please? I was going there next. I never bring a guest on and not let them bring their information. Go for it.
Thank you very much. You can find us on Twitter. You find us on Instagram. You find us on Facebook. We are Israel. The website is IsraelUnite.org. That's IsraelUnite.org. That's our website. We also have YouTube videos. You can find us on IUIC in the classroom. So you'll find our elders' teachings. That's IUIC in the classroom channel. You have IUIC Tallahassee. You have IUIC. It's IUIC in the classroom. You'll find our elder teaching there, various topics, talking about touching on family, politics, history, you name it, we go over it, and it's all in the Bible. The Bible is the past, present, and future of this society, as well as our people as a whole, and I hope that those who are watching were enlightened, and I pray that you gain more enlightenment by watching, by tuning in to the IUIC online classes we have 7 days a week, 3 times a day on the website. Register for those. Our information, when you go to the YouTube channel, it's in the description box. Go to, once again, that's IUIC in the classroom on YouTube. Go in the description box, and our information is there. We're located in Mount Vernon, New York, those of you who are from New York, and 44 Southwest Street. That's where our headquarters is located. So if you have any questions, we're international. We are all over the place. So pretty much not all over the world, but we're working on it. Our contact, our schools, locations are all stored on the website. You wish to visit or learn. All right, so we pray that I hope that what I brought out was helpful, and I hope to come on again and expound upon it. If I may, Daryl, I thank you once again for allowing me on the show, and I hope to be again, if not me, the elder, or someone to be able to be on to a lot of people. I appreciate it.
We appreciate it. One more time, one more blast of the website, please.
Sure, that's IsraelUnite.org, Israel unite.org. That's ISALUNITE.org.
All right. All right. Very good. So we thank you. Of course, you and I will be talking offline to expound on this and go a little bit more in depth of how you've expanded and how you've come from the beginning and to where you are now, and bring some of those pertinent points to, you know, how that has an impact on our society and our peoples. With that said, I wish everyone a blessed weekend as we move fully into the autumn season here in this particular hemisphere. Tell someone that you love them, because we don't know what the next moment will bring. And with that said, that fell upon my heart to your heart, and I'm going to continue loving you no matter what. And I pray you keep me in prayer, and I'll keep you in prayer because prayer works. This was certainly a blessed showing this evening, and I'm going to just close out with something Stevie Wonder put together called Misrepresented People. Have a blessed week.
In 1492, you came upon the shores. 700 years educated by the Moors. 17th century, genocide and the gun. Middle Passage blessed to market the Africans in the so-called land of God. My kind were treated hard. From back then until now, I see in you agree. We have been a misrepresented people. From back then until now, just see my family tree. We have been a misrepresented people. We have been a misrepresented people. While I pray to God, my mom.